Even Esau's mountain will be occupied by southerners of the Negev, and the lowlanders of the coastal region of Palestine will occupy Palestine. They will occupy the field of Ephraim and the field of Samaria, and Benjamin will occupy Gilead. And that was the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 19, from the version of 2003 by yours truly, our daily scripture of the Holy Scriptures for today, little children. And once again, we resume our study of the article, The Ark of Urartu, The Orient Express, part 2 now, chapter 11. We're, of course, in part 2 ever since chapter 7. This is chapter 11, paragraph 11. To the left, we have a photograph, it looks like. Beautiful photograph, quite well taken. Whether it's completely in focus is not immediately clear, but it's a picture of a what looks like a necklace. It's called Miao jewelry, and certainly looks like a necklace, which consists of a series of crescent-shaped, almost complete circle-shaped strips of metal, which are separated by a narrow gap, and there are eight of those. In fact, oh, that's like the eight immortals of Chinese mythology, who correspond with Noah, his three sons, and their four wives. In all eight, I didn't notice that before. But the other thing is on the left and right, and at the top of the necklace, which would be behind the head, are these conical-shaped, conical, right? That's right, in the Chinese language, there's no letter M, right? We never see the letter M, do we? Oh, yes, we have the word Miao, so there is the letter M. But when you see a word like Shenong, we would never see the letter M in that position in the word at the beginning. Yes, the M occurs in the word Miao, for example. Miao is one example, but the other thing, I'm not sure there are a lot of M's in Chinese, no matter what, you know, I don't think there are, but we don't see the letter M like, not that I can remember, but I'm not a longtime student of Chinese yet. And by the way, the Chinese written characters are not called Hanji. Again, I have to refine it further, it's pronounced Hanzi, Hanzi. It's H-A-N-Z-I. And when I talk about that, then I get to talking about Hans Harbor. Hans Harbor, H-A-N-T-S, in Newfoundland, which is the place from which my great-grandfather, certainly, and also my third-great-grandfather, began, you know, with their family, you know, to how do we put that? It began starting their families there, starting with my third great grandfather, John Green, who married Catherine Gooby, and they moved to Hans Harbor from Old Perlican, and had their family, and then his son John Green, who married Sarah Reed, was her last name, and then they had a son, John Thomas Green, my great-grandfather, and John, and the John who married Sarah was born in, let me think now, can't be right, can I, wait a minute. I think, yeah, it's 1823. That's right. And John and Catherine, John Green and Catherine Gooby, who married in 1818 when Catherine was only 17 years old, their son John was thus born about 5 years after they got married. And that son was born in Hans Harbor, and he was the father of John Thomas Green, who married Harriet 80, who died at the young age of in her 40s, I believe, or maybe even in her 30s. I'm trying to remember. I think it was in her 40s, or maybe at the age of 40. But it's easy to establish. We just look up the genealogy of myself, and we find it. But The Adventures of Hercules, but she died very young, Harriet 80. Now, The Adventures of Hercules, okay, but before we start reading, look at the necklace one more time. In this necklace, we see these conical-shaped things, and then I started talking about the Hanzi, the Chinese characters, which are called kanji in Japanese. They were adapted into the Japanese language for writing Japanese from the written Chinese characters of the Hanzi. But now that we relate kanji to the name Kangjie, who is also in English, we could call him or pronounce his name Kangji. Kangji is the name that from which he invented the Chinese written language, and he's the one who was the hidden emperor Fuxi, and from his writing comes the name Hanzi, and also the kanji, the name for the writing adapted into the Japanese language. So that's where all that comes from, which I mentioned yesterday, but I wanted to explain more. And also it reminds me of Hans Harbor because of the word the Chinese use to describe that written language, the Hanzi. It reminds me of Hans Harbor, which is a place from which my ancestors produced their families, or generated their families, I guess is a good way to put it, or as far back as my third great grandfather, that is true. Now we have these conical structures that are little tiny miniature sort of cones, or maybe they're eight on each side, once again, the number eight, like the eight immortals. And there's one more at the back, which would be behind the head. Might be smaller, actually. It looks a little smaller than the others, perhaps. But these cones are built up of either concentric or spiral. Concentric rings or a spiral. It's hard to tell exactly by looking at this. And they may be representing the Tower of Babel, actually. It's hard to say what they are, but it could be, because a spiral would be a good shape to build the Tower of Babel, because they had to carry the building materials up a ramp, which could go around the outside of the building. If they are spiral, that could represent the Tower of Babel and the way they built it, using a spiral, to ascend, as they originally hoped, into the heavens, to reach the heavens. But The Adventures of Hercules, chapter 11, paragraph 11 now, are consistent in largesse with the exploits of Sesostris. And the Tyrian god Baal relates well with Belus, the moniker of Nimrod and his ancestor. As does also the son of Hercules, Alcaeus, with the founder of the Assyrian Empire, Ninus, which is sometimes the name of Nimrod. Or the name Nimrod, actually, is sometimes Ninus. Osiris, the father, in brackets posthumously, of Horus, posthumously, end bracket, of Horus. Osiris was the father of Horus, and he conceived his son after his own death in the mythological story. His wife was able to, after Osiris died, his wife Isis was able to gather create the necessary conditions for the conception of her son Horus from her dead husband. There was a miracle of sorts that happened in the myth. And this Osiris, who was the posthumous father of Horus, is Hercules, as the father of Proteus, who is the younger Thoth, or Toys. Thoth, the son of Osiris, is thus the first pharaoh of Egypt. Pharaoh Toys, hyphenated. Compare with Proteus, Pharaoh Toys. Proteus, or Pharaoh Toys. And Hercules, the last of the shepherd kings, known as Mizraim and Narmer, who began the Egyptian calendar in 2774 BCE, and named the first month by the name of his son Proteus, which first month is Thoth. So that is quite an interesting description or analysis of the mythology. The eagle, I mean, it certainly is to me, but we're stretching the language here to see whether we can find connections between the different mythological characters and historical characters, such as the first pharaoh of Egypt and the first pharaoh or the first ruler in Shinar, who was Osiris, or, you know, sometimes also taken to be Nimrod, or he was certainly an early leader in Shinar. The eagle associated to Hercules indirectly in his saving of Prometheus by killing it is a symbol, because the eagle was attempting to do something to Prometheus, right? Hercules saved Prometheus. And that eagle is a symbol of the Greek Zeus, the god Zeus in the Greek mythology, and was to the Egyptian Osiris his companion and minister. Nimrod, the son of Hercules, is thus also Ninus, the son of Belus, who founded Assyria. Because we said that Hercules was known as Mizraim, and he was the last of the shepherd kings. Now that's remarkable, because the last of the shepherd kings, we're going to find out what that means. Now that's also referring to a different later time period, the shepherd kings, not just this early time period before the Tower of Babel. And Nimrod, the son of Hercules, is thus also Ninus, the son of Belus, who founded Assyria, who built the Tower of Babel in Shinar in the early version of the story, before, that is, the time period, the chronology being earlier for this particular person called Ninus, who was really Nimrod. He built the tower, you know, the Nimrod of the Bible. The Tower of Babel in Shinar is what he built, or another word for Shinar is Sennar. And this Nimrod, who is identified as Horus, the Roman god Ares, in other words, in brackets, and the brother of Anubis, in brackets, Proteus. Anubis, in brackets, Proteus. Anubis, in brackets, Proteus. I keep saying Proteus, but it's Proteus. And who is associated here to Hercules and to Phineas Pharsa. This Nimrod, the son of Belus, who founded Assyria, who built the Tower of Babel in Shinar, who is identified as Horus, brother of Anubis, and who is associated here to Hercules and to Phineas Pharsa. Compare the name Phineas Pharsa to Proteus and to Pharaoh Toys. Pharsa might be similar to Pharaoh, for example. But there may not be a lot of similarities between Phineas Pharsa and Pharaoh Toys. But Hercules as Osiris or Sesostris went to Scythia, the Scythians, which we will possibly talk about another time. And Hylas or Horus, his son, is also a warrior in the Greek mythology. The god of war, right? In the Roman mythology, that's Ares, I believe. And in the Greek mythology, it's one or the other. Mars is the god of war, right? Mars is the god of war. I'm trying to think, is that Greek or Roman? And how can we remember? I'm trying to remember what that is. It's not important. But he's either Ares or Mars in the Greek mythology. Baal of Tyre is Melkart or Poseidon, who is also Hercules and Nimrod. Poseidon, because the Baal of Tyre, of course, was living on the sea, and Poseidon was the lord of On, according to one translation, but he's known as a ruler of the waters, right? Which, of course, Joseph also was, as Joseph was in charge in Egypt during the time of the drought. You know, so he was the lord of the waters in that sense, and thus also Poseidon. But the Baal of Tyre is a false god, of course, that was worshipped instead of worshipping the true god, Jehovah. And Baal of Tyre is Melkart, or Poseidon, who is also Hercules and Nimrod, because of Belus being the same as Nimrod, and Baal being another form of the name Belus, right? But we have these different interchangeabilities, or, you know, interconnections between these names. And Nimrod, of course, Baal of Tyre, we said, is Melkart or Poseidon, who is also Hercules and Nimrod. And then we say the last shepherd king is thus also Nimrod, who is a mighty hunter after being driven out from his flocks, because he was called in the Bible a mighty hunter, right? He was a hunter, and that meant he had abandoned his flocks and he was no longer a shepherd. A remarkable observation, is it not? Menes is sometimes the name given to Proteus, as he was first to become king of Egypt after Babel, but in the Greek myth, he is Belus, son of Poseidon, or rather Belus' son, Tanais. That is Menes, right? Menes, and he's the one, but also he's the one about whom the tower is called the Tower of Menes, too. So he may have been there, in fact, before the tower. It's really, 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 we're trying to keep it simple, but it's really quite complex, which really makes us think, you know, makes me think sometimes, you know, that being dumb, or in the sense of the word meaning less intelligent, being less intelligent is not necessarily a bad thing, because when you're intelligent, everything becomes more and more complex, potentially, and usually it requires a lot more complexity, right, to integrate all the knowledge, and therefore, you know, being less intelligent is not a bad thing, not at all. There are many things, many aspects of life in which we desire simplicity, right, as opposed to complexity, you know, or very high levels of complexity. So, Danaus, by the way, he's the one that was supposedly brought the writing to Greece. Wasn't that Danaus? Or was it the son of Danaus? I'm trying to remember. Whether, I think it was Danaus who brought language to Greece, because he was described that way, but he's identified with, oh, we also identified Danaus with somebody else. And he was a pharaoh of Egypt, but we identified him with the son of Apophis, I believe, who was the ruler who was cast out by the Egyptian king, so that the Hyksos ruler, that is, the son of Apophis, was ousted and came to Greece, according to the different accounts that we read. Mizraim, now, I mean, very few accounts about that particular instance, except that the account about Danaus coming to Greece, I think, is quite often told. So we want to look that up again later. But Mizraim, or in brackets, spelled with a Z instead of an S-R-A-I-M, is Zeus as father of Hercules, because in the Greek myths, Zeus was the father of Hercules. So Mizraim is Zeus as father of Hercules. And in brackets here, Heracles, or Hera Agilas, or Hera Agileus. That's where the name Hercules came from. Hera Agileus in Greek. Or Heracles. That's the origin of the name Hercules. And both Zeus and his Roman version, Jupiter, are associated with the eagle, as is Mizraim, or Narmer, seen in the Narmer palette. In other words, Mizraim may be identified as Narmer. And Nimrod was a giant. This is noteworthy. Nimrod was a giant. And his successor was not, providing a reason for the description, quote, human king, end quote, for Thoth, in brackets Anubis, end bracket, and the deification of Horus or Hercules, in Hebrew, Nimrod. Perhaps we mean in the Bible, Nimrod, but Horus or Hercules was deified. Not in the Bible. The Bible writers didn't deify him, but he was called a mighty hunter, and he was, by others, deified. In conclusion, Proteus, in brackets, or Pharaoh, -toit, end bracket, might be the same person as Thoth, who was the inventor of writing, descended of Japheth, Phineas Pharsa, and given the name of Mercury in Rome, Hermes, Aidoneus, or Danaus in Greece. Remarkable. And named Athothis, or Thoth, by the Egyptians. Big hyphen, so we say, full colon, Hercules is Nimrod, exclamation point. End of paragraph. Wow, I mean, there's so much information there. Now, even some of the much simpler sentences are concealing a lot of information within their words, within these statements that are made in previous paragraphs, because we just can't always, there's not enough time. When I was writing this, I didn't have enough time to explain everything that I was learning, and didn't have, you know, to expound on everything. There just wasn't enough time to write it all. Would be too much. So some of it is abbreviated, but not this paragraph. This is quite detailed. And I don't think it could be more thoroughly explained than it is. It's quite a detailed discussion of how the Greek and Roman mythologies connect to the Egyptian and the history of Shinar and Egypt, of course, as well as Greece. And the bringing of the language by Danaus to Greece, because we see that it was Danaus who came to Greece. He's called the messenger of God, Hermes, and he's the same. That's the same person. So therefore, it was Danaus. I was trying to remember who it was, but it is Danaus who brought the language in the written form, and he was the one who was also identified by us as the son of the Hyksos ruler, Apophis, who was in his, I'm trying to think how many years it was, year 11, I think it was. He was in year 11. But I'm not sure. We've got to look him up. We've got to find out who's the son of Apophis. So let's do that now in the time we have remaining, if we might. Look up Apophis. Right? And we can just... There are different... Okay. Oh, I spelled it. It changed the spelling on me. Let's click on it. There we go. Perhaps I changed it inadvertently. I don't know. But here we see 1580, they're saying, to 1550. A Pepi. He's the one. But we think he ruled longer than his rule. We're going to talk about that right now. He was succeeded by Camuti. Yeah. Camuti is his son. So when was Camuti's year one? See, well, they don't date him. They've changed their dates since the time when I did my research. They completely changed it to try to apparently subvert my chronology. That's the only reason I can think of why they would change it. But they also change for various reasons. But it's just not true that... Okay, we'll look up something like... look up the Hyksos, right? Or Hyksos. Some of the articles in Wikipedia are much more loyal to their own research. But the people who make these articles many times are not particularly connected to any, or they're not particularly committed to any chronology, so they'll quickly change when they're shown any other thoughts that might differ with their own thoughts. Then they'll quickly change the chronology. It seems, and it would appear that way, that's what they do. So when they're saying the Hyksos ended in 1550, which is bizarre, because they're now, that would be raising the chronology of Ahmos the First, which they've been talking about lowering it all this for years, for some years now. So they're completely changeable and fickle, really, in their chronologies. We don't have to worry too much about the chronologies that they give us. And it's not just Wikipedia. Many other scholars who are sometimes even possibly the ones who write the Wikipedia articles, or at the least they're the ones whose works are referred to in those articles. So let's look up Ahmos, because I think Ahmos the First, have they changed that too? As far as his dates, I don't doubt that they have changed it. Yeah, 15. Oh, look at this. Yeah, 1551 to 1527. That is more in line with what we believe. Very close to what we believe for Ahmos. So at least one of the chronologies they give agrees with ours. Right? And if we look at... Let's look at Camos. Camuti, actually, not Camos. Camuti is the one. The 11th year of Camuti, that's it. Right. Right. So it was the 11th year. And they don't agree on all of this, but you can find the earlier versions of the article, probably, and find out what they used to say about this, which is possibly less biased than what we're seeing today. I don't doubt that the things that we've written about have biased people against us, and there are many opponents of the Bible, and that's not surprising. You know, in fact, Jesus said, leap for joy, rejoice, and leap for joy when you are persecuted. And when you're persecuted, bear up. We don't merely give in or cave to these, you know, persecutions. But we saw a discussion of this. Let's look up the something about the city of avarice, okay? Maybe it's in that article. It was one of the articles that we can find. Let's look up again. Camuti. It's not mentioned in that article. Camuti? It's not there. Okay, let me copy that name so I always have it. Let's go to Camuti again. And here he is. The years they give here, his year 11 was 1532, so, or 1533, so it should be, he ruled from 1542 or 1543 is what it should be, which doesn't differ entirely from the second option given there from Reihold source. Kim Reihold, I believe his name is, but if I'm not mistaken, maybe it's, see, let's look. How can we find Reihold? Click on that. KSB Reihold. Yeah. It's a male, and he is a Danish Egyptologist. Kim Stephen Bardram Reihold would be closer to what we're saying for the date of year one of this king. But we believe he was the king who was overthrown in his year 11 by Ahmose the First of Egypt. He was they were both Egyptians, but not in the same way, because Camuti lived in the north. He ruled in the northern city of, well, in the Delta region, all those cities of the Delta region he was in command of, but he was a Semite. Like, you know, we even refer to them as the Shepherd Kings, as the later fulfillment of that description, Shepherd Kings, which the Hyksos fit very well, actually. But they were cast out by Ahmose the First sometime around his year 19, so that's 18 years after 1551, which is 1533. Great. Okay, that's it for today's study. It's January 10th. I am 68 years old today. The year is 2025 of the Common Era, and the time is 2026 hours Canadian Eastern Time. I love you very much. I'm Ward Green, and thank you so much for listening and watching. In my behalf, this is Sissy. And this is Star saying bye for now. And just a final remark is that there's a manuscript upon which the basis is found for the year 11 of Camuti, right, in the Rhind Mathematical Papyrus.